This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication.
Hi, my name is Johnny Bluestar, and I am the host of Threshold Radio, manifesting for the first time on worldwide digital broadcasting, a web and podcasting station located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This program is brought to you by New Galaxy Enterprises, which I created to assist myself, my collaborators, and clients to be able to create major, innovative media projects. Through a sheer coincidence, after some false starts, I found that my premiere program on this brand new station was dovetailing with Patty Greer's release of her first film called Crop Circle Diaries. Patty Greer was the first guest on Threshold Radio in our original station, and I celebrate her appearance as my first guest, driven out of some divine timetable on this new station.
Good morning, Patty. How are you doing?
Great. Hi, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this interview. I found myself almost astounded by your film. Some of it is a little bit retrospective. I've heard some of it, some of the stories before, but even the things that you said were now illuminated by sort of new insights on your part, because this experience of yours of investigating these crop circles is really like an ongoing journey, isn't it?
It is. I don't even have to be in England for most of what goes on anymore. So I think it's about connecting with Source in a way where you get your job, your badge, and your mission. And this is my chapter of Crop Circles. And for me, I felt like this movie answered certainly all the questions I had, and I was asking a lot. How about you? Did it answer your questions? Crop Circle Diaries.
Oh, I have more questions based on it. There are more questions. But let me first get this back to something you just said. You were talking about Source. Now, I want to use a certain type of language that I use. I use the language for Source, and there are millions of words like God and, you know, tons of words, the Tao. But I like to speak of it as the divine presence. And what I like to say is that many things happen within the divine presence, but many things happen outside of the divine presence, which means certain things are connected to God and certain things are outside that realm. And I'm talking about a tangible, specific realm of consciousness, which contains many different components. Like, there are many rooms in my father's mansion, as the New Testament says. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So when you say Source, you're talking about things that are happening within this rich, light-filled place where there are many different kinds of beings and many different kinds of possibilities, but also the possibility of guidance directly and guidance through beings who are sort of like messengers. Is that correct?
Yes, and it goes further. When you say Source, it's limitless. So it's that and everything else, you know?
Yes, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, but...
No. No, not everywhere. It's everything. Okay. You know, the interesting thing about Crop Circle Diaries is the bottom line was what we learned about plasma physics. And when we let go of what we think is real, which is TV and radio and newspapers and magazines and high heels and push-up bras and Botox, I mean, maybe I've been here too long, but I've seen it all, and we're still doing it. So the toxicity of our training has led us to be who we are today, and it's like this blemish waiting to be completed, you know, just done for and behind, because we have reached the point where we have to get everybody else on board with the shows that you do, the wisdom that you, Johnny, have gathered with all the shows and illuminating people, and some that are not straight up telling the truth, but as long as we're not focused on that old high heel paradigm, we've got some really exciting times ahead. And crop circles are like these love letters left in like sticky notes around the world for centuries. They've been leaving them forever. And they is us, source. But the interesting thing about crop circle diaries is that we proved something that's never, I don't think, been discussed before. And that is, drum roll, crop circles are coming out of the earth. They are not coming out of the sky. And that's the bombshell of crop circle diaries and the research of William Levengood, who was this great scientist that discovered too much for Monsanto, too much for the organizations of agriculture, and his cousin, the lobbyist for the Department of Agriculture, that I met at his wake a year after. So, you know, we've got these interesting little splinters that are not allowing the progress to happen over these last bunch of decades. But I think the tsunami has hit, and I think we're winning.
Well, I think that the Bayer aspirin is has probably bought or is almost bought Monsanto. So I don't know what that means metaphysically.
Who has?
Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say what a pleasure it is to speak to you about this movie.
Thank you.
The show is, you know, being recorded in advance, but it's actually going to debut on June 4th, right, on Saturday.
Well, the physical manifestation of debut, the world premiere in front of humans, with me sitting there like squealing, seeing it on a huge screen, is June 4th at Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree, California, which is near Palm Springs.
Yes, that's where I used to live.
It's going to be 105 degrees.
Yep.
105 degrees. And they gifted me the amphitheater, primetime, Saturday night. And you know, Johnny, what's interesting is that this is the culmination of making a movie, is who gifts you a world premiere. And what I had to do is to sweat to convince, like, the biggest UFO event, I think, in America, to trust me without seeing the movie. It wasn't easy to get the Saturday night spot. But right when the movie began, which was the strangest story, and I did not tell it in the movie, I knew that day that if I made the movie, which I knew I had to because I heard the telepathic communications, yep, that's what this is about. Let's get going. You know, Crop Circle Diaries was born. But I saw very, very quickly that this would be the world premiere, would be outdoor amphitheater, Contact in the Desert, thousands of people, and a big smile on my face in the back row going, huh, really?
Well, the wonderful thing about this is that today people can join you, at least in virtual reality, by streaming your film right today. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Crop Circle Diaries, you can stream it for $5. You can watch it 100 times during the course of 7 days if you want to. Just leave it on auto return. And then tell your friends. Every time you watch it, tell someone. That's all I asked. And hit replay, tell someone. You know, it's not about me. It's about the science getting out. And it's so fascinating the way that the movie began and then the way the movie happened. And the further away I get now, I realize all the players, all the people I met, you know, we're all players in each other's lives, even you saying, come on, let's do this show. I really support your work. When somebody says that to me 3 times, it's like, okay, you are really nice. You're going to work hard and help because you see it. You care. You know this is real. And I think that's what's happening now with those of us that are really devotees to the truth. And I probably, which I say this all the time, need to design a t-shirt that says, you don't want to lie to me, and just wear it, because I'm really the wrong person for people to lie to. And I know that it's not because I came in with lousy karma, that my financial advisor stole from me, that my dentist put mercury fillings in when I paid him $6,000 for porcelain, and I got mercury poisoning, which I'm still dealing with now 12 years later. And I mean, I'm conscious, I detox. Guy was crazy. But then my doctors gave me the wrong blood test 7 years in a row. And when I got the right blood test, you're in the red zone. I looked at them and I said, oh my God, you're giving the wrong blood test. You're giving a test for fish and environment. Here's the real test. It's in a box from the lab. 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, they still won't offer it. So all this talk about mercury vaccines, holy crap, look at the stuff in your teeth. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to go to paranoid zone. I just want to say I've been through mercury poisoning and my losses of my fingertips as a harpist for 33 years. I had to sell both my harps, both my pianos, because this dentist decided to put mercury fillings in me when we had agreed on porcelain. Free nitrous oxide. Be careful, everyone. Doctors, dentists, lawyers. I don't want to blame them. Bankers. They're slaves. They don't know any better if they signed a gag order. I signed a gag order for my bank because I wanted a few pennies back on the dollar. But yeah. I mean, for me now, I realize we need to see our friends and be always stepping in a progressive, positive direction and leave that old crap behind. Amen.
Amen. Well, listen, Patty, we're going to get back to this in just a minute. And I have to tell you that I'm already inspired. But, you know, a lot of this adversity that you experience, and I'm sure I have, and many other people involved in this, including Levengood, the scientist that you whose work you were discussing, go through a lot of adversities. And yet somehow they have also put us in a place which is quite different than the normal place, I believe.
We'll be right back.
Thanks. Patty Greer is not only a filmmaker, but a remarkable singer-songwriter, and this show will feature a number of her songs available now on YouTube. One important component of this show and New Galaxy is what I call Bridge of Light Productions, a division of our company, which promotes music that we feel can offer the public an opportunity to awaken to a higher consciousness within them and can therefore serve the cause of peace. Here is an important song by Patty called May Peace Prevail on Earth.
May peace prevail on earth, and let the children sing.
Is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here! There's too many of them!" Again, we saw the Chinese soldiers charging in with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. Climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped two hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio,
musical scores for advertising, television or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
Well, Patty, thank you so much for being with us today. Before we go into the Crop Circle Diaries, could you just briefly mention something about another film that you've just finished, which is called Women of Today, and had a preview, I guess, a month or so ago?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, The Women of Today. You know, it's funny, here we are coming up on the anniversary of when I began filming it. And I had taken my camera gear to Contact in the Desert last year, where I was a speaker, did a workshop. And, 50 people, big names. I was honored to be in the lineup, but everybody's there. And I thought, bring your camera. You'll want to film someone. So I go day after day after day after day, and I'm loving everyone, but I'm not moved. And I'm like, I've done 6 movies. I'm kind of like, done that, been there. Last night of the event, this beautiful young girl in a teeny little tank top and teeny little shorts comes up and says in this beautiful Slovenian accent, I was at your talk in your workshop and I would really like to show you some of my photos. I've had amazing experiences. And I was really tired at the end of, this Contact in the Desert week, packing up my booth. And so I said, give me 10 minutes and I'll meet you back here. So finally, I just plopped down in the chair, got everything locked away. And I didn't even look up again at her. I was so tired. But she shows me her phone and starts going through hundreds of photos of orbs and moving tubes light. Photos like really, really impressive. And while she's showing me these, I mean, as good as my orbs movie 5, this woman from Australia. Oh my God. Once we met, she sent me 50 photos a day. She's taken over 800,000 photos of ET's orbs. Tubes of light, red ships, pink domes. I mean, but when I say red ship, I mean a very gorgeous red ship that's my business card. On the roof, behind a tree, in the field, in front of her face is the pink dome. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. So interestingly enough, I do a workshop and a lecture. My public lecture is always Crop Circles, all about them. But my workshop this year is plasma and orbs, because they're just so cool. And people keep gifting me these libraries to share, because the orbs, the light beings, the ETs, whatever we want to name them, call them what you want, call them flying Jesus or flying Akashic Records libraries. You know, everybody has a name that gives them comfort. So I don't name it. When I say source, it's because it's nameless and it's also limitless. You know, again, that's where we finally have to get. So this falling away of mercury poisoning taking me out of my life as I knew it. I had a beautiful home, nice car, anything I want, wherever I want to go, because I'd worked really hard since I was 7 years old with a lemonade stand. And all of a sudden, this mercury poisoning just completely threw me off track so far, losing the use of my hands as a musician, that I retracted from everything and I tried every kind of healing. Nothing would work. And I was so desperate, Johnny, I laid in a crop circle in England. I flew over there and I just went, I'll do anything.
Okay.
And I went and laid in a crop circle.
I have a question about that. With all the other sources of healing that exist, you know, like Reiki or of John of God that Oprah has met, and you know, there's psychic healers and there's all kinds of healing. Why did you choose crop circles?
Well, I chose 65 other ones first.
Oh,
believe me, I did.
Process of elimination. Okay.
Oh, no, I mean, in November, 6 months ago, you'd croak, literally, what a great word, if you knew what I did to heal. No, my hands are still not perfect. I still don't shake hands, which is really fun as a public speaker who wants to be integral and give you a good shake. So if I like you, I'll give you a good hug. But short of that, you know, I kind of bow, I kind of nod, and it's like, please don't shake my hand.
You know,
so
who
usually
else?
I wear a band-aid. Yeah.
You know who else wouldn't shake hands? Tesla.
Huh.
Did you know that?
No. And no. What was his reason and Michael Jackson's for wearing those white bandages?
Tesla had a condition. He felt uncomfortable touching people. I'm sure you don't, but because you're much healthier, I think, than he was in a lot of ways. But he's had some very strange sort of mystical experiences. You know, like one time he had one of his attacks, and his hearing became so intense he could hear an insect in the other room. I mean, everything was totally, you know, he was blown away by just the slightest little thing. That was one of the things that he went through. But
me too, Johnny.
So you had that.
I hear electricity, and it really bothers me. I want so much to shift us into what the movie Punchline is, which is that everything is plasma. And when we learn to measure and manipulate plasma with the right intention, we can create everything. And you saw that in the movie. Penny Kelly was a secret partner. There's so many secrets in this movie. And I've been so humble not exposing much. But the fascinating thing to me is that I friggin' killed it on the Oliver's Castle footage. Did you see that?
Of course.
The balls of light, like crop circle down.
Amazing. I mean,
they want me to have it so much. The beings want me to get it to the public so much that they've already seen me throw up my hands in surrender. Oh, throw up my hands. Everything's so appropriate as we go through this show. But literally, it's about surrender. I've surrendered everything I used to have as my fat, lovely life because I got into making movies about things they don't want talked about yet. But the funny thing is, I'm such a sucker to this now that I know how amazing crop circles really are. And what I know is that when I walk in one, the hair stands up on my arms. I have chills. I have goosebumps. I'm just beaming like, oh my God, this feels so good. Like when you walk into a hot springs and it's just that temperature where you're just beaming. You're like, oh God, this feels so good. Walk into the umbrella of a crop circle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. But you have to drive to the hot springs and you have to open your friggin' mind to walk into a crop circle and feel it. Well, you can take a shut-minded person in and you've got chills, goosebumps, tingles, and you're looking at them and they're like, yeah, what? And they mean it. And you're just like, you know, oh, it's great. And then it's like amazing to see somebody next to you who's just like, what? I don't feel anything.
Yeah. One of the things, I just wanted to go back over one thing. You were talking about the orbs. And are you familiar with Wayne Dyer?
Yes.
Well, did you know that his surprises was that constantly these orbs were showing up and then also in photographs. And he had apparently, probably over the years, hundreds of orbs show up while he was speaking. And he writes about that in several of his books. So apparently, you know, so I was really impressed when Penny was talking about it and she was commenting on your experience when you were looking at the footage in the editing room when you were doing Oliver's Castle. And she was saying how these orbs appear when they're something from other dimensions, beings from other dimensions, say, are trying to communicate with you. And I think maybe you should tell us a little bit about what happened in that editing room, which I think is the first time that you actually experienced these goosebumps and chills and knew that they were there outside of the crop circle too.
You know, that's really cool, but if I may, I was reminded of when those balls of light first came to me in 2001 by a private message from my ex-boyfriend who experienced this with me. And I wrote him back and said, oh my God, when you turned me down to go on camera and say, yes, it's true, I left the story out of the movie and forgot about it until now.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad to remind you. Tell us a little bit more about it.
That just happened yesterday morning. And Yeah, I can feel my eyeballs, like, you know, sometimes where you feel like you're getting burning or tears, like you're just being reminded of something so important. And we forget these things. So in 2001, I had this mountain house and a hot tub right outside. And it wasn't big fancy. It was just this cool mountain house. And yes, I'm guilty. I feed wildlife. I don't have dogs. I usually have cats. In the past, I would have one. But since the mercury poisoning, and I live in America where you have to vaccinate your dogs and cats with mercury, unless you specify, please tell them, do not vaccinate your babies or dogs or cats with anything containing mercury or any of the nicknames thereof. It's a business you don't want to support. So it's why I don't shake hands. Mm-hmm. It's not because I'm picky. It's because a lot of people allowed themselves to get a flu shot or a vaccine, and then they're at the event with the 105 degrees, they're sweating. Can't touch that. Yeah. So I don't shake hands. It's really more about people that haven't realized yet that those things in their teeth are not a good idea and they're sweating. When you have those things, when you allow them into your system, they go through all of you. And that's part of the plan. I had somebody walk up to my booth last year at Contact in the Desert and nope, can't do this on the air. Anyway, what happened in 2001 was that I was dating this guy at this mountain house where I fed a lot of wildlife. And I mentioned the hot tub and the little fountain in the back because they could hear the water coming to this little fountain. So all the animals would come in to drink water because they could hear this fountain from a mile away. And it wasn't that loud. They just hear, like you said, Tesla did, like I did that day when I was in the crop circle. And I hear surprising things, but I definitely hear electricity. Which I can't wait for us to do clean electricity. Ugh, right?
Yes.
Right? So, and again, that's why they're holding back of this, because we have it. So I wake up in the morning. I've been dating this guy 4 years. He owns a recording studio. I only see him on the weekends because he's a producer who just can't get away from the studio. So he comes up on the weekends to my mountain house with all my animals. And he's like, seriously, you know, I'm like apples in my teeth feeding male bucks with huge antlers. And I'm like, just don't knock on the window. We'll be fine. But I was silly up there. I just love the wildlife and how if you slow your breathing down, you can really function with them, which is the same. And I only mention this because it's the same as communicating with these other dimensional beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about us teaching them our language. It's about us meeting them somewhere in the middle. And art and math is something we both understand. Therefore, crop circles are the perfect delivery.
Right. They're in between the dimensions, interfacing yes. between the two. We're going to take a break now and be right back with a very interesting story about contact with Patty Greer.
Here's a fascinating song by Stephanie Slevin, a singer-songwriter called I Talk With Angels, and I believe she does.
I talk to angels. And they speak to me. They show me things that I don't usually see. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God looks down with love, showing off mankind. But we just push and shove one another to the ground, making unholy sound. But if you want to talk to angels, you gotta spread your heart around every town. I saw an angel at the end of my bed. He looked at me, but not a word was said. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God believed in me as he does us all. Just awaits us to see he is there, everywhere, all around, every town. Yes, I talk to angels, and they speak to me. They lead me places, they want me to be. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God looks down with love, showing us mankind. But we just push and shove one another to the ground, making holy sound. But if you want to talk to angels, you gotta spread your heart around every town, every town.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects like book covers, logos, web design elements with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com. For artist, illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, the creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
Okay, Patty, you're going to tell us a story about your actual first contact experience with perhaps the crop builders, which you had long before actually you went to the studio. And we're in the editing room and saw that blue orb on the monitor.
Oh, long before I went to the crop circles. And they might not have been the circle makers. But again, who are the circle makers? Well, we'll get to that by the end of the show, I hope.
I hope so.
No, this is just my first time where I know I had contact. So I'm dating this guy. I've got this house in the mountains with a lot of wildlife that comes and visits. My closest friend was a fox, Foxy Brown, hung out like a dog. I didn't pet it. I don't do that. But we did hang out. And so I wake up one morning and I've got this boyfriend on my nose with his nose. And I'm like, what the heck? Good morning. What are you doing in my face? He said, oh, thank God. I'm like, what? I just woke up. I'll be right back. He grabs my wrist. Oh, no, you won't. Do you remember what you said in your sleep last night? And I'm like, I'm sorry. What's going on? He's like, I was on your nose because I wanted to make sure you were breathing. I'm like, okay, I just woke up. What's going on? He said, you woke me up in the middle of the night by saying these words. It's not what you see. It's what you don't see. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Okay, I'll be right back. You know, you wake up, you want to just, you know, go to the bathroom for a second. And he's like grabbing my wrist even harder. I'm like, what's up? He said, oh, no, that's not all. And then you said, it's not who you know, it's who you really are. Now, this guy owns a recording studio. I make music. I'm cutting records. And I'm like, wow, great lyrics. Okay, I'll be right back. And I'm going to go write that down. He doesn't let go of my wrist. And then he gets in my face and he said, that's nothing compared to what happened next. I'm like, okay, you're creeping me out. Now, this is a guy who doesn't come out of the studio. He's really, really brilliant in music, but he's socially not in the mood to be social most of the time. Is a polite way to say social anxiety. So he is completely wrapped up in something I have no idea about. And he goes, He tells me the story that I woke him up by saying those heavy lines, and then he couldn't get back to sleep. So he's laying there with me completely out cold, all nice and sleepy, and he's like, oh man, I'm tossing, I'm turning. And all of a sudden, I see this car go behind the house, does a U-turn, comes in with the two headlights, and I realized it's a solid mountain back there. That's not any car. Whoa. And the first ball of light came through the wall of your bedroom. This is 2001. I'm sorry. 15 years ago, I was so not into this. I had a nice house, a nice car. I had a TV. I was buying into all those shows. I couldn't wait for the next episode of at least one. I'm sorry. I went shopping. I owned a clothing store, sold gloves, hats to go with your stupid outfit. I'm sorry. I was part of it because it's what I knew. I grew up in LA. Anyway, so here we are now. We've got a ball of light just came in my bedroom, and now my boyfriend of 4 years is terrified telling me this story, and I just woke up. And I said, wow, honey, cool dream. And he grips my wrist again. I'm like, ow. He said, oh, no, that's not all. That first ball of light circled the bedroom, and I shook you so hard and yelled, and you wouldn't wake up. And I'm like, uh-uh. He said, yeah, but when the second white ball of light came through the wall of your bedroom, it turned bright green like a glow stick. Moved around the entire ceiling and went out a different window past the hall like the other one did and through the living room, but out a different window. And wow. I just kept staring at him and I said, wow, cool dream. And he got up out of bed and he said, I'm glad you're back. I'm not sure what just happened, but it wasn't a dream. I know what I saw. And he left. Way to lose a guy, right, Johnny?
Really strange.
How do you tell your friends and kids that one?
I don't know, I think he should have stuck around. But I guess that wasn't his fate, right? Maybe he wasn't ready. I guess not.
It took me years wondering why him, not me. Why he got to see it and I saw nothing. Why? I was frozen. I was locked out. Wah, wah, wah. And all of a sudden, I start making these movies. Bang, bang, bang. And when I went to the crop circles, I mean, after my contact in the crop circles, I made a movie every 6 months. Didn't mean to. They just kept happening. I've made 8 now in 10 years. Used to be a home. Now it's 8 movies. So anyway, I meet Mary Rodwell, who does a lot of regressions on people who claim to have had contact.
Okay.
And I'm speaking on stage at the Glastonbury Symposium. It was an honor. I was showing my third movie called 2012, We're Already In It, which was so ahead of its time because it was 2008. So Mary hears me talk on stage about what I've been through, and she comes up afterward and said, can we have tea across the street? So we sat down. She said, your story about your boyfriend and the 2001 experience, the fact that you felt left out all these years and that he got to see it, you really don't get it, do you? And I'm looking at her like, what am I missing? And she said, you were taken.
Whoa. Okay.
You were gone. It dropped me to my knees.
Now, has she regressed you at this point, or is this a surmise?
She regressed me. She regressed me later that day for 3 hours. My boyfriend ran the camera, and where they took me was the Crystal Castle, which we show in the movie.
And that's an amazing part of the movie, too.
I can't believe I didn't remember, even though he wouldn't say, yes, it's true, I'm that boyfriend. Because he still talks to me, but he keeps a distance. He's adorable, but a lot of people, Johnny, don't want to lose all their friends and reputation. This does not make you popular to know the truth. And they point to you like, oh, yeah, UFOs. You know, come on. Right?
Yeah.
Until you see one.
What is this? There's a saying, in order to be reborn, you have to die. But in order to die, you first have to become awake. Taking that in a metaphorical sense. No doubt that in my experience and talking to many people, a lot of times this enlightenment comes, more and more enlightenment comes after things are really taken away and you have nothing left except that. And then sometimes everything else comes back, but you look at it differently. You know, you don't look at the television series with the same awe that you did before. Something like that.
Oh, Well, I think when all of this old reality shattered before my eyes, it took me years to realize what I do today, which is what gifts they were. I mean, you know, but let's talk about what's important, which is the science of crop circles, because that's what's exploding in this movie. And the bang, 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 bang evidence where you can see with your own eyes that balls of light are making crop circles. What are those balls of light? What are those spinning white things that I found in the movie that sometimes people see in England in those areas over crop circles at night? And Levengood and Penny actually discovered what it was by a number of repeated experiments gaining the same result.
Let's say that we're going to discuss the secrets of plasma.
All right.
We'll be right back.
One of the most magical things that happened to me in my life was when a Russian composer named Edgar Ahrens contacted me on an English social media company called Academy. His original purpose was perhaps to see if he could write scores for films I was producing. Alas, I was more of a screenwriter than a film producer, but when I went to his website and listened to his scores, they were more than amazing. I then asked him if he would work together with me to write songs. He told me then, yes, it was possible because there was a singer in America wanting him to write music for her, but he didn't know enough English well enough to write lyrics. This contact turned out to be Patricia Welch, who was more than a fantastic singer, who lived only 30 miles away from Palm Springs in La Quinta. Edgar and I have worked with Patricia for quite a number of years. If you go to Threshold Radio, you'll find two complete shows about her, one called Evolution of a Singer and another called Cocktails with Patricia. During the time Edgar and I worked with Patricia, we also produced our own songs, which Edgar performed. Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy, is proud to present Edgar Ahrens singing a clip from one of our early songs, Dear Infinite Michelle. During the time we were working together, Patricia was also busy in a project of her own. Here's a clip from Patricia Welch's three-set CD album called Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia. It's called, appropriately, Top of the World.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Your love's put me at the top of the world.
This is Johnny Blue Star. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welch for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for Great Entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Blue Star. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of the stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was 6. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditched the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Blue Star. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kendall. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kendall.
If you like Threshold Radio, a program which deals with core issues affecting our personal, political, and spiritual lives, and advocates the creation of an enlightened, informed citizenry, not only in America, but throughout the world, then you might think of supporting both your product and business and our message by advertising on our show. All programs are archived and are supported in various ways, including social media, our outreach being broadcast weekly on VegasAllNetRadio.com, a very advanced internet broadcasting station, but also archived directly on our websites on YouTube and in SoundCloud. We believe in time we will have a very broad outreach. Through New Galaxy Enterprises, our parent company, we can create a wide range of marketing and advertising components to complement your advertising on Threshold Radio and increase your outreach in many creative and exciting ways. If interested, just go to www.thresholdradio.com and fill out a contact form with your interest. That's www.thresholdradio.com.
We're back with Patty Greer, and we need to provide a little bit of the foundations for what we're about to discuss, which is the mystery of the science that has been discovered through the crop circle experience. But we need to know a little bit about the characters. And, of course, the scientist Levengood is one of the main characters, but also since he died in 2013, we need to talk about his sort of the person who worked with him for so many years and was sort of the co-star of your movie, which is Penny Kelly. So tell us about how you became acquainted with her and with his work.
Yeah, the ghost story, again, something I was never into. But, you know, life throws you a good punchline, you go for it if you're in the mood, and I was. So I'm at this event, the International UFO Congress Convention, and I was asked to speak. And I have shown all of my movies there, six of them, and won three awards. So the event has been kind of family to me, and a woman heard me do my talk, and I got to speak on Valentine's Day in America, February 14th, about the Circle Makers, who I love more than anyone. And so, how perfect. I was delighted. I showed 333 photos and almost blew out my PowerPoint because I didn't know you're supposed to do 100 and then do a new PowerPoint. So, it was like starting to falter because I overdosed the photos. But how better to tell a story about art and math, a language, than to just feed them the language? So it was just full of, and this is what I was told telepathically, when you say a lot of crop circles point to sacred sites, show them 15, not two, 15.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to show you some sacred geometry crop circles that when you spin them appear to be showing us propulsion technology. I showed 60, 6-0.
Wow.
You know, so, and then I said, oh, look at these beautiful 3D crop circles in wheat and barley, and they're blowing in the wind, and you're flying in these little microlight planes with no door on your side, taking pictures. I mean, I was out of my mind. Thank you, Mercury. It served me well. I don't think today I would do it.
It's interesting how we get to the places.
I've made these amazing movies, and I'd like to invite your audience to go to pattygreer.net, because on every page of the website, there's beautiful photos and images of crop circles. And I think on my crop circle or about Patty Greer page, which needs an update, you can see the balls of light communication that we are about to talk about. And we also forgot to talk about women of today, which I really appreciated you asked.
Well, this is the end of the first hour. If you are excited about this interview with Patty Greer, I guarantee you, you ain't seen nothing yet. You can find most of her films for streaming or purchase at www.pattygreer.net. That's PattyGreer.net. In my opinion, Patty is not an ordinary documentarian. She is a person with a mission, and what she has found borders on science fiction. But as you know, if you at all are interested in science fiction, the history of that genre is the history of scientific prophecy, because so many inventions and forward-looking technologies were accurately described there. Robots, spaceships, submarines, voyages to the moon, bioenergy, genetic mutations, etc. At www.pattygreer.net, you can also find some of her original soundtracks, and some of her songs, which are among my favorite, can also be found there. Singer-songwriter Patricia Welch, composer-musician Edgar Ahrens, UK singer-songwriter Stephanie Slevin, and Zave Music, with instrumentals by Zave Nathan and songs written with his wife and lyricist-poet Bonnie Blazak, are all part of our musical component of Threshold Radio. We will go out with Patty's beautiful song, Autumn Glow.
She's an angel with a bended wing. You know that she's grounded so that she will sing, not fly. She's an angel with a golden heart. You know that she can make the wind do tricks.